Hey everyone, this is Jedi Geek Girl dropping in before this episode to let you know that the following is considered episode zero and was recorded before I Rebel was launched as a podcast. Thank you and enjoy.
Forgery of imperial documents, possession of stolen property, aggravated assault, resisting arrest.
On your own from the age of 15. Reckless, aggressive, and undisciplined. I rebel.
Welcome, everybody, to this very special audio track from I Rebel. I am your host, Jedi Geek Girl, and today we will be diving into a Empire at War tournament report. Before we get into it, I would like to do a little bit of housekeeping. I plan to do more content in the future, so at this time, I do not know what it will look like. If you like this content, please let me know at my Facebook page, I Rebel, at Star Wars Destiny Fangirl page. Without further ado, let's dive into this special tournament report. When Empire at War came out, I thought I knew what I was going to be running as my first deck, and that would be Thrawn Unkar. I still want to run it, I still intend to run it, but when I got my boxes, I did not get no Thrawns. I did not know exactly what I was going to do because I had my mindset on that deck. I actually thought that the boxes that I got were actually pretty bad. And I didn't have any intention of really running anything besides what I was running before, which was Baby Vader, Captain Phasma, new Captain Phasma. Until it was brought to my attention that Cad Bane Phasma is actually pretty decent. So I've heard. I looked at it and there was a bunch of guns. It basically was like Jango Vias back in the Awakenings meta. So I decided to build it. At first, I didn't think I would be able to run it because I had everything for the deck except one Cad Bane. So I had to try to hunt a Cad Bane down in like 24 hours. Luckily, I was able to get one last minute, but I got one nonetheless. So before I get into the tournament itself, I would like to break down the deck. Keep in mind, this is the first iteration of this deck, and it still needs a lot of work. So I think there was a lot of mistakes I made in building this deck. And I probably am not going to stick with it because, as I will get into later, it just wasn't hitting the notes that I thought it would be able to hit. So, of course, we have Elite Bane and Elite Phasma. And the reason why I decided to pair these two together because they're very aggressive. You have Bane, which has that 2-gun and 3-gun for resource and his treat ability, and he has a 12 health. And you can't scoff at 12 health. I know that Baby Vader does a lot of damage, but he doesn't have 12 health, so he dies relatively quickly. With Cad Bane, I thought maybe I would be around a little bit longer. And with Phasma, you know, maybe alleviating some of that pressure and having a big backup gun once Cad Bane went down. But as I found in my tournament, I didn't find that to be the case because it seems like Phasma was always the one that they went first. But anyway, the battlefield that I decided to go with was Secret Facility. That one has the ability that states claim resolve up to 3 of your dice showing damage, range or melee. I thought maybe that would speed up the deck so I would be able to claim and resolve 3 dice at once. Basically trying to get that priority incentive and trying to always stay in control of the battlefield. That was the original intention of selecting this battlefield, and I don't think it would be the best battlefield going forward. Like I said before, this deck is resolved around guns. The guns that I decided to include in this deck are the X2 Night Sniper, 2 of those. Holdout Blaster, 2 of those as well. LL30 Blaster Pistol, 2. And of course, Captain Phasma Blaster. With every gun except Captain Phasma Blaster, they all got ambushed, and 4 of the six that have ambush on them have redeploy as well. Six if you count Captain Phasma. So I figured no matter who they would target first, when they went down, you know, your weapons would move over. It was a good theory in test, but I don't know if it was the best because I think that as good as Night Sniper is, there are so many pay sides. And you are spending resources to get these guns on the board to cheat them out that when it comes time to resolve them, you don't have the money. That was the biggest drawback. Another drawback is, like I said, they always went for Phasma first, which kind of defeats the purpose of Captain Phasma Blaster. Because if you put it on Cad Bane, well, the blaster doesn't have redeploy, so you are losing it if Cad Bane dies. I mean, you could always replace it with a two-gun that had redeploy when it is attached to Bane, but you just, I don't know. I got in the mindset of wanting to put Captain Phasma Blaster on Phasma and getting the redeploy that way, but I didn't find myself using Captain Phasma Blaster. Night Sniper was really fantastic. I loved how you could always change it whenever you have the resources to spend. It is a very good weapon. One that I think in the right deck is very potent. And I'm hoping to use it in the future. So that is my gun lineup. And when I looked at my guns and I looked at my characters, I saw that while I would be quick and I would have a lot of guns, I knew that resources would be like a downside. So I decided to add two logistics and two truths to the deck to try to increase the odds of that resource. Of course, logistics, you have to have a resource and then you get two resources instead of one. Very efficient, but it eats up one of your dice. I still like logistics, but when you're doing an aggro deck, you want to be able to do that damage without eating the dice trying to collect resources. Truce is fantastic. Zero cost, ambush, each player gains resources. Fantastic. Your die is showing a range damage, gaining resource, resolve their gun. No problem. Except your opponent also gets a resource. When I was playing at the tournament, I didn't find myself using this. The only time I really used it was when I was winning and I was just doing it for lols. But I like it, but I it just didn't hit the note that I was looking for in this deck. Of course, when running a deck, control is my biggest thing that I put in a deck. I like the control. A lot of the decks I played before had that balance between aggro and control, although I lean more towards control. My control lineup included He Doesn't Like You, two of them, 2 1/4 portions, 2 Doubt, 2 the best defenses, 2 Friends in Low Places, and 2 Corrosions. Now, that lineup is pretty self-explanatory. The best defense is the best control card in the game, in my opinion. It's fantastic, though I didn't think it was good in this deck because you were putting damage on Captain Phasma, which you want to keep relatively healthy because you want to stick around as long as you can. And when you put damage on your characters preventing damage, it kind of helps them, except in very situational situations where you are like maybe preventing 4 damage. And taking 3 and removing the dice, but I don't know if it was fantastic of an inclusion as a 2 of, maybe a 1 of would be better. I'm not soured on it, but I didn't find it as useful as maybe I thought it would. Of course, Doubt is a staple in villains. I mean, you can't go wrong. Zero cost, reroll a die, they must resolve it. Like I said, staple. He Doesn't Like You, another one of the best removal cards. The downside to it is, of course, it cannibalizes one of your dice, which you don't always want, but you do have that control of being able to select which dice you are selecting from. The other ones are, of course, Hand Control, Friends in Low Places. Fantastic card. If you play it as your first action, it can devastate your opponent because you can remove their control and you know what is in their hand, so you can play accordingly. In this aggro deck, while it was good, and it is always good, again, you want to focus on that aggro, and I don't know if hand control was the best way to go. Coercion also fits that category, except I found it to be a little situational. Again, with the aggro deck, you want to be more aggro, and I don't know. I was playing this maybe a little bit the wrong way. I was waiting till they activated a character and had dice in the pool, just in case they had control, they had to target themselves. But this is a card that I need to playtest a little bit more and see how best I can use it. The last two control cards are one quarter portion. I was trying to debate between this and Electroshock. I still really like Electroshock. The only downside is Spotted Yellow, which I didn't want to have to rely on and able to play my control. So I went with one quarter portion. A one quarter portion, while very strong, it does give your opponent a resource. And I don't like giving my opponent free stuff. I don't mind giving them an option with removal, but I don't like giving them a free resource. Obviously, when I play more often and play smart, I think it would be included. I'm not the biggest fan of it, but it is still a very strong removal card. Of course, we have six more slots left, and the six remaining slots are for speed. What I had in mind was speed. A lot of the cards in this deck have ambush. Of course, you have Captain Phasma, which is red, so of course I included two tactical mastery. But that's pretty self-explanatory. You are getting two actions for one resource, which is fantastic. However, in Bane Phasma, I found it to be a little constrained because of that one resource cost. Fantastic card, but one that you are not going to be able to use. Of course, since you're running yellow and your main guy is yellow, Fast Hands is fantastic. I also included two of those. While I did use it, and it is fantastic to be able to play Fast Hands on Cad Bane, activate, resolve, any die, including the 3-for-1, I found myself rather spending those upgrade slots on guns. And with it being only yellow characters that you can play this card on, it is still very restrictive. It's one of my favorite cards, but I didn't find that I was able to use it as much or as good as I should have or could have. The last two cards are also yellow cards, staples almost. Bait and Switch. Ambush, if your die is showing a resource, change to any side. Fantastic of a card. I cannot speak wrong about this card. It is one that I would include in pretty much every yellow deck, and one that you can't go wrong with, period. So that is my deck. It was created spur of the moment, so there are a lot of questionable decisions, but it is one that I felt very confident with going into the tournament. So that is the deck, and now the tournament. The tournament was at a local shop that I visited, and it was a tournament that I run, and I didn't know what to expect. I knew that it was going to be the first tournament that I was attending with the Empire at War, but I didn't know what the attendance was going to be, and I did not know what people are going to bring to the tournament. I was a little concerned because I only got two boxes, so I knew that my options were very limited, and I knew that there was a lot of people in the community who would be able to build more competitive Empire at War decks. So I tried to have a mindset of having fun while also trying out this potential quote-unquote broken deck. That is not how it went. Around one, I played against a local who is very well known and very well respected. He won 5 store championships. Very nice guy. However, he was playing Rainbow Nines, and I was like, wow, round one, I have to play against a quote-unquote best deck and summit. I was like, okay, well, let's see how it goes. Turn one, I was able to get off of Friends in Low Places, and I was able to get rid of a Boundless Ambition, limiting his options. And that round one, I couldn't punch through. I couldn't do any damage. I don't think I rolled any damage, and neither could he. But it was very disheartening not being able to capitalize on him missing that. And I think with Rainbow Nines, you want to hit that damage quick. Otherwise, they are going to start overriding their weapons and you are going to lose the game. And that is what happened eventually. Round one, like I said, neither one of us could do anything. Round two, I was kind of still in the game. And then like round three, it was over, you know. He knocked out Phasma, activate Bala. There was nothing I could do. I could not take three characters down. So that was my round one. It was a loss to Rainbow Nine. Round two, I played against Unkar Bane. This was a deck that was very interesting. One that I actually thought I would have the edge over because my deck is more aggro than that deck. Needless to say, I was proven wrong. Unkar, in my opinion, is a better partner than Phasma because of the resource he provides, as well as the synchronicity between the two characters as a mono-colored deck. It is susceptible to Kylo, which could be a strong downside, but it is one that I would like to experiment with and see if it is viable. So we both were running terribly. We were able to get damage, and I was able to get Unkar down first, and then he was able to kill Phasma. And then it was down to my Bane with two weapons against his with like two or three. He had two shields. I had no shields. And then at the end of the round, we had like five damage, I think, on both. And then he was able to hit damage, and I wasn't able to keep up of being able to win that game. So round two, loss against Unkar Bane. So I was feeling a little disappointed at this time. Usually when that happens, it is a time where tilt can come into play. So I was just trying to have fun. I at that point in time, I was like, you know what? I do not think I'm going to stick with this deck because it is not working. So round three, I sat down and my opponent was playing Seventh Sister Elite and General Hawk's Elite. This was a deck that I'm like, okay, this is a very unique deck. I do not know what they are planning to do with deck, but it is one that I wanted to play because I wanted to see what the strategy was behind this deck. Unfortunately, in this game, everything went my way. Round one, I got 8 damage. Round two, I got 6 damage, I believe. And then round three, I got like 7 damage. My opponent, he could not get anything. His resources were not put towards the cards that I think he would have liked to have on the board. And I felt really bad for him because you are trying a deck and it doesn't matter how good or bad a deck is. You want to be able to do stuff. And when you can't do stuff, if you can't get upgrades on the board, or you're rolling bad, or you're drawing bad, it really sucks. And it really sucks when that happens and your opponent gets everything they need. And that is what happened. So I won round three against Seventh Sister Hawks. At this point in time, I was hoping to go 50-50 because that's usually how I go at my worst. So round four, I sat down and my opponent was playing E-Mars, Rookie Pilot. This was a deck that I was like, oh no. I knew it was going to be relatively quick, and I knew it was going to be hard hitting, and I knew it was going to be one that, with my current deck, I potentially would not be able to handle. Well, we started the game, and round one, I controlled his dice, best defense, yeah, and he controlled my dice. So round one, there was like no damage then, which really was interesting because you would think that we would have had damage on the board. And then as the game kept on going, he kept controlling my dice, which on top of me rolling not damage was not doing me any favors. And I was able to keep her in check for a while, but once he got her ability off, he started to the races and I was left in the dust. There was no way I could keep up due to him being able to do damage. And eventually he put the ship that he was casting out to his effect on the board. And that is a die that stays on the board and you can't do anything about. It is one that when you're done, he can still roll out and resolve. And he did. He did, and that's how he won. I was not able to keep up with control because I was trying to rush down his characters and control. But when you have a support with a die, it makes things interesting. And I think this is what is strong about the hair deck. And he did not roll that fantastic. He wasn't able to get swarm vehicles. And like I said, he was able to get off the ability once or twice. And that makes me way, well, not really way, but it makes the deck really potent if it can go off. And the deck didn't go off. And he still won. So it is definitely a deck to watch. I don't know if it's tier 1, but it is definitely competitive in my opinion. So that is it. I went 1-3. Really frustrated at the results, but I had a lot of fun. It was nice being able to see Empire at War, being able to play new cards, and seeing cards that you had no idea what they did unless you read them. I had a blast, and I cannot wait to play more games with Empire at War. I know that I will not be sticking with this deck. I think what I have heard about it being decent might still be viable, but I don't know if I personally will be able to play it, partly because I want to play Von Unkar, and partly because I want to not play a deck that didn't really work that well the first time around. I think I might tinker with it on Tabletop Simulator, but I think my priority will probably go towards other decks. If I don't get Von Unkar, I will probably be playing Hair Ships, or maybe if FN doesn't get hit, probably new Kylo FN. But we have to wait and see. Until then, I want to tear apart this deck. And I want to make Bane Unkar. Because I saw that deck and it was very interesting. Again, I don't think it is going to be representative. But in this baby format, it is definitely one that I want to tinker with until I get my Thrawn Unkar going. Again, I don't know if Thrawn Unkar is going to be my deck, but it is the deck that I want to build and the deck that I want to tinker with. But luckily, there are no big events coming up officially, so I have time. But we do have a couple unofficial events coming up that I want to be able to have a deck for and decks that I understand. So that's that. I hope you appreciated this special audio feature. And if you do enjoy it, or if you have any feedback, or if you would like to contribute, please contact me at iRebel on Facebook. This has been iRebel, a Star Wars Destiny podcast. I have been your host, Jedi Geek Girl. If you would like to contact me, please send me an email at iRebelDestiny@gmail.com. And as always, may the Force be with you. iRebel is an independent podcast, not associated with Lucasfilm, Disney, Fantasy Flight Games, or any other organization. all copyrights for Star Wars, Star Wars Destiny, and all other properties belong to the proper copyright holders.